Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now in studio, former Jets quarterback here on behalf of the Mayo Clinic Comeback Player of the Year Award. He's someone who knows a lot about Comeback Player of the Year Awards. That's Chad Pennington. Chad, good morning. Thanks for being here. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well, fellas. How are you guys doing?
You're a two-time Comeback Player of the Year Award, huh?
Yeah, you know, something you really don't want to major in because that means something bad's going to happen for you know, but it was, you know, what people don't realize about being a comeback and trying to make a comeback is the energy, the amount of energy that these guys had to put into trying to get back on the field and just be available, much less trying to play at a high level.
I tell these guys all the time how lonely that is. Like, here you are, you're the starting quarterback of the Dolphins or the Jets or whatever, and you go down with an injury, and now you are removed from something that is so important to you, and you're by yourself when you're going through all this.
Oh, no question, and you feel like a ghost because you're not part of the team. But, you know, when you look at the Mayo Clinic Comeback Player of the Year Award, this is a collegiate award, and it's so appropriate to partner with Mayo Clinic. I mean, they're in the business of creating comebacks for people, as well as investing in research to create comebacks, and they're doing a really good job of that. And so it's going to be interesting to see these 30 nominees throughout the year, these student-athletes with three finalists going to the 2019 PlayStation Fiesta Bowl to be honored. And there's some amazing stories out there. And I know when I was making my comebacks, just those little pick-me-up stories to kind of help you get through those dog days of rehab and things like that. And so these student athletes have done an amazing job of that.
Now, you guys, and history will show this, are going to be part of a very special class of Jet quarterbacks. It's going to be post Namath, pre Darnold. This is going to be a bunch of everybody in between. You might be forgotten about, you know.
It's okay.
Yes.
It's okay.
So we've been hyping up Sam a lot because the Jets need something like that. What have you seen from Sam Darnold early on, either good or bad, that makes you think about him having a good career in the NFL?
Well, I think we all see the potential. And sometimes what happens when we see potential, we want it to become reality right now. And we just can't. We have to be patient with this young man because we see what he's going to be capable of doing. And so, you know, my hope is that the organization is patient and that we're patient as a fan base to watch this guy mature into a really good professional quarterback, because he certainly has that potential. I love his poise. I love his playmaking ability. And we just got to ride this roller coaster ride with him. He's going to go through some bumps, and he's going to play like a rookie at times. He's going to look like a vet at times. But at the end of the day, to me, it's about what the product is 5 years from now. Not right now, not 2 years from now. 5 years from now, what have we done to give him the resources to be successful? Because he certainly has the opportunity to do that.
The one thing I will say, there is no question that, you know, in where I sit now, whether it be on TV or radio covering the NFL, there's a genuine excitement about the four rookie quarterbacks that have started. And Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, and Baker Mayfield, and Sam Darnold. That everybody in those particular cities feels like they now have a personality that they can rally behind. I'm not surprised by the success of the four kids. I mean, I think that Josh Allen's been rushed a little bit too much, just simply because of the situation that they have up there, and they're not a great offensive team. But there's no question that Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield have lit the fire underneath the fan base, because they can see it themselves.
No question. And they're great passers. They know how to pass the football. When you watch them throw the football, they don't throw it and look at the field as two dimensions. They can drop the ball into buckets and into pockets, and that's what you have to do in this league. You just can't throw a line drives all the time. So I think this is a very talented young quarterback class, but to say that they've had success thus far, it's way too early. There's so much football to be played, and you know, Boomer, it's about consistency in this league. And so once these teams get film on these young kids, how can they create that consistency year in and year out and improve their games to keep that level of play up?
Are guys more prepared to start now as rookies, or is it just that the pressure on these organizations to get these young guys out there and not have them stand on the sideline when you see a okay starting quarterback in front of them, and that's what's driving the starting?
I think they're less prepared because of the spread system in college. I think a lot of times these quarterbacks are coming in and they just know a system. They really don't know football, and so they have to learn the intricacies of football, the fronts, the coverages, all the little dynamics that go with it. I think that there's less patience in developing quarterbacks. I've always said I think our league does not do a good job in developing quarterbacks. We have too much arm talent in this league to not get more production out of these guys. And then also there's an entertainment value here that we're talking about. Our fan bases want to see these young kids perform. But if it were me and if I had a team, you know, it would be a 3 to 5 year process with every young quarterback that I had because that's what it's going to take. But that wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work, especially here. It wouldn't work either, especially if the team is not playing well. You know, interestingly enough, I listened to Tom Brady gave an interview this past week on EEI, and he was talking about Patrick Mahomes and why does he believe Patrick Mahomes has had so much success so early on in his career.
You see that picture over there, by the way, Chad, behind you with Boomer and Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, yeah,
in the heart. Yeah, so just get ready for this.
Heart and everything. Yeah. So anyway, these guys around here, you have no idea what I'm dealing with. It's just nice to have somebody here I could actually talk man-to-man to. But here's the thing. Tom Brady basically said, well, you know what? The college influence of offensive football is starting to come into the NFL and has come into the NFL over the last 5 years. He was likening it or saying when he started, when you started, when I started, those influences of the spread offense were not there. And if you ever went spread, it was usually on 3rd and 10.
Right.
And had a back standing next to you just in case to help you, you know, pick up a blocking scheme or something. Now it's 5 wides, it's wide open, and that influence of the college game is coming here. And I know you're an advocate of the college game and all that other stuff. And with all the new rules and all that stuff,
sure,
that the game has changed significantly over the last 10 years, and that's why some of these young guys are, you know, are doing as well as they are.
You're exactly right, and the league is younger. I remember when I was a rookie, half our team was over 30. When I got to Miami 9 years later, we had 6 guys 30 or over. So these guys are now playing against players that are more their age, where when we came in as rookies, we were playing against guys who had 10, 12 years of experience on us. I think that matters as well. And then Tom is right. The influence of the college game is certainly here. I remember when I was a rookie, I tried to introduce the bubble.
Yes.
The bubble pass to the Jets and talk about that's what we did in college. Oh, that would never work. That's never going to work here. And now we're throwing bubbles and quick screens all over the place. So sometimes the NFL lacks behind the college game as far as trying to implement some of these new ideas. But you can see, especially within the last 5 years, the college game, you can see its influence, no doubt.
Boomer and Geo with Chad Pennington in studio with us on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. When you look back at your time with the Jets, what are the memories that pop up the most?
First memory that pops up were last 2 weeks and last week of the season in 2002 and the first week of the postseason in 2002, where we had to beat Green Bay to win the division, and then we move in and beat the Colts in the first round of the playoffs. Those 2 weeks, as a Jets player and as Jets fans, it was electric in this city. Going into the Green Bay game, New England had to beat Miami for us to have a chance to win the division, and we were the late game. They were the early game. And so the Meadowlands was kind of subdued at first because we didn't know if this game really meant something. And then about halfway through the second quarter, the whole place erupted because New England had beat Miami in the overtime. And so just the energy that we felt in those 2 weeks was really, really special.
What about the way that it ended? Do you think about that a lot or not?
Ended here in New York?
Yeah.
That's the business of the NFL. Certainly we all want it to end differently. But, you know, Miami came at a good time for me, and I really enjoyed that time as well. You know, being able to experience a guy like Tony Sperano and get back with Bill Parcells, that was a good time for me as well. But I wouldn't trade anything. I mean, you know, we all go through our ups and downs, and to have 4 shoulder surgeries and still make it through 11 years, I consider that a blessing.
So you can appreciate what Drew Brees has done then over his last 18 years after he basically ruined his shoulder his
no
last
question.
Game in San Diego. What was it like playing for Bill Parcells? You know, I work with Phil Sims. He's a pain in the ass. But he always tells me these great stories about he and Bill and how much he appreciated the way Bill treated him. He may not have realized it during the moment, but, you know, as he's gotten older and as he looks back on his time with him, he said, man, the influence that he had on me was incredible.
Yeah, I think one thing that probably Coach Parcells doesn't get enough credit for, and some of our older coaches don't either, is they really understood the people part of this game. It's still about relationships and motivating men and leading men. And so that's what I really enjoyed about working under Coach Parcells. And it was kind of unique to be able to go down 9 years later to Miami and not be the rookie or the fair-haired guy. It was now I'm a veteran, and he knows I've earned my stripes. And so to have and see the difference in that relationship from when I was a rookie to 9 years later was really special.
Now you're one of his guys.
Once you're a Parcells guy, you're a Parcells guy.
And
exactly.
That was always his history. Wherever he would move, and he was in control of the roster, he would always bring in guys that he knew were, you know, could understand what he was trying to do. That
exactly.
He could get through to you or get through to his team through you.
Correct.
And you would carry the message. And if there was something going a little bit of awry, you wouldn't be afraid to, you know, go talk to a guy.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, it's still a player's game. And, you know, as coaches, I coach high school football now. It's very nerve-wracking because once those guys step in between the white lines, you have no control.
Are you running the spread?
Not running the spread.
No, you're not. You can't break the mold, I guess. Hey, let me ask you this question as we talk to Chad Pennington here. I don't know if you ever had this. I never had this happen, and I think Eli was put in a really weird situation this week by Odell Beckham Jr. and his interview with ESPN and Josina Anderson and your buddy Lil Wayne.
I know yes. You're a big Lil Wayne guy. Very tight.
Yes, exactly. And Eli just kind of lets it roll off his back. There's really not much you can say. Did you ever find yourself in a situation like that with any of your wide receiver teammates that were so mercurial that they made it difficult on you?
Not necessarily. And, you know, Eli is a true professional. And I think the entertainment value, which has been great for our game, has given our players so many opportunities financially on and off the field. Sometimes that can get in the way of what our game is really about. And it's about the game in between the white lines, about the football. And sometimes I think some of our young players forget about that.
They want to be celebrities as opposed to being football players.
Exactly.
So what I'm trying to extrapolate here from what you're saying is that Odell Beckham Jr. crossed the line?
Well, I just think, you know, information like that doesn't need to be shared. I mean, you're playing a team sport. You're not playing an individual sport. And he is an amazing talent. We all know that. But at the same time, you've got to understand what your responsibility and accountability is to your team. And those 53 guys in that locker room, that they are the only ones that matter. No one on the outside matters. And I just think you've got to maintain that accountability and that relationship with all your teammates, because at the end of the day, and I think you would agree with me, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, that's what you remember the most. You don't remember the touchdown scored or the games won. You remember the relationships that you forged in that locker room, and that's so important.
You know, the crazy thing about him, though, is that in the subsequent interviews afterwards, he thinks that what he's did is right, that he is now closer to his brothers on his team than he's ever been, and that somehow that ignited their offensive output. For the first time, they scored over 30 points in like 37 games last week against the Panthers. Now, I don't know how you are. I don't know how you would take these things, but I could just see a lot of guys in that locker room just rolling their eyes. Just, oh, man, I can't believe we got to deal with this now.
Well, I think that's something you talk about behind closed doors. There's no doubt he's passionate, and he wants to bring passion to the game, but how you do that is so important. And so, you know, for him, it's being able to take that passion and that energy and put it in the right direction and make sure he's on the same page with his quarterback and with his team. And, you know, just a lot of people on the outside don't understand that chemistry that you have to have. You're playing a team sport, and especially in the game of football, it takes all of us. And so you just hope they're able to work that out, and he's able to separate the entertainment value from the football. No doubt he can be a great entertainer. No doubt he can be an amazing football player. And he brings a lot to the Giants, and you want to be able to put that in the right direction to make them successful, not just himself.
If you had to tell Odell Beckham one thing about the longevity of a football player and the popularity of a football player, what would you tell him?
Your brand is not about your following on Twitter, not about your friends on Facebook. Your brand is how you work and how you treat people. And if you do those two things, everything else takes care of itself, and that's what creates longevity.
Are you one of these guys that looks back at your career and says, I should have gotten more credit for this, or why am I not talked about as much? Because if you think about your career, and I believe this is true, in the Belichick era of the Patriots, they didn't win the division 2 years in this Belichick-Brady era. One was when Castle went down. You were the starting quarterback of both those teams
right.
That ended up winning the division in the AFC East. Couple playoff appearances. You had the great season with the Dolphins.
You had six games in the
playoffs. Right. All right, fine. More than that. Even better.
More than I did.
Right. And then you were able to stick it to the Jets the year after they let you go. All these moments.
How about a winning record?
I mean, in the NFL. I mean, but you're not talked about in that era of quarterbacks like others are. Is that something that you think about or not?
Not really. When I do look back and look at things I would have changed, And I remember Boomer actually talking about this when I was going through it. I wish I would have listened to him. I wish I would have taken more time on that first shoulder surgery and given my body more time to recover, kind of like Andrew Luck has done. I think that was very smart on his part. Mm-hmm. I felt like I rushed that, And then that led to the second one. And after you get into the second and third one, it's just a down. You're just holding on and trying to survive. And so, you know, for the last 5-6 years of my career, I was completely surviving with my mind because my body wasn't there. And so, you know, that's the only regret, so to speak. But, you know, playing through injuries, you know, as a quarterback and as a football player, you want to be available for your team. And so it never crosses your mind really, well, I'm going to be on the shelf to take care of myself in the future. You're trying to be available now because you never know when your next opportunity is going to be. But with hindsight, that's what I wish I would have done a little bit differently.
When he speaks to this, he speaks to the insecurity of the athlete.
No question.
Especially the football player. Because the football player always knows that there's eyes open for the next guy to replacement. You went through it with Brett Favre.
Right.
Right. So you just never know where that next guy is coming and all of that stuff is happening in your life. And if they're going to draft the guy to replace you, just like they drafted you to replace somebody else.
Exactly.
I mean, so there's that insecurity where we are always our own worst enemy.
Right.
That's why the concussion thing is such a big deal in today's world, because when I played – guys played with concussions. They just went right back in there. And I'm sure you did in college, and I'm sure you did in high school. Why? Because you looked at yourself as the leader of the team.
Right.
That you had to prove to everybody else out there that you were an all-in guy.
Exactly.
And when you're hurt and you're on the shelf, you feel like you're removed from everybody, and that just plays to every ounce of insecurity that we have as the athlete.
It does, and quarterback's not looked at as a physical position. So part of us as quarterbacks, we want to play hurt. We want to play injured to show our worth to our team that we can do this and we're going to be there for them. And so, you know, the good thing about our game, I think it's safer now than it's ever has been. It's going to continue to get that way. We're making rule adjustments. We're making equipment adjustments, all these different things. So I really feel good about where our game is and where we're moving. And we're kind of the pioneers when you look at contact sports. We're creating this awareness. We're creating this conversation to make our players healthier and safer.
Hell, the ratings are up. I mean, Everybody's excited. I mean, all these young guys and all these young quarterbacks now, and the greatest show on turf out in L.A., with the Rams again.
No question.
Jared Goff. I mean, did you ever expect Jared Goff to be this good?
Well, you know, I had a chance to work with him a little bit at the Combine through the NFL Legends community through our mentor program. And just talking football with him, I knew that he had it. We talked protections. He understood them. He had a good perspective on that. So it was interesting to just watch him develop. And it goes back to, can you put two people together that can mix together and work together? You look at Sean Payton and Drew Brees in New Orleans when they got together in 2006, and now with McVay and Goff. I mean, that relationship part and understanding each other and how to communicate with each other, it really shows itself in the production on the field, I think.
Do the Jets ever have you met with Sam Darnold at all?
Talked with him briefly at the Combine.
Can I just put a suggestion out there for you? the Jets should ask you to come in and spend some time with them in the offseason, not during the season.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I think in the offseason, sit down, just talk to them and teach them a little bit about the way of the NFL. You know?
Sure.
Because I think a lot of these kids, they come in, they're not aware of what they're getting themselves into.
Right.
Because they don't know what they don't know is the point.
That's right.
Also, being the Jets quarterback, as you have talked about, is a different thing, too.
It is
different. In this city, with another team in this city, and then people being negative about the organization.
Right.
I mean, it's different. There's things
really
that you guys know that a lot of people don't know, right?
Right, and I really think having Jeremy Bates there is crucial. I was able to work with Jeremy for a year in 2005. Josh McCown is crucial.
Yep.
And we all know how important that quarterback room is. It's not just about the starter. It's about the other men in that room that can support the starter and help him. And he is, to me, was the best signing of the offseason because he creates stability in that room.
So Josh McCown.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because when you watch him in the first game against Detroit, okay, he throws an interception on his first play, right?
Yeah,
we're all sitting there going, oh, my God, what are they doing, right? I actually tweeted, fire the offensive coordinator. Stop calling plays like this. But then you saw Josh on the sideline go to Jeremy and say, hey, we're staying with it. Let's stay with our plan. And it turned out to be a great game for them. And just watching Sam last week, I thought he only completed 10 passes, but they were accurate. And he
yes.
was much quieter in the pocket. He wasn't like helter-skelter, and those feet weren't moving 100 miles an hour.
Exactly. That's exactly what I saw. And to me, the formula for them to win this year is that he needs to throw the ball between 22 and 26 times.
Right.
I mean, to put the game on a rookie quarterback right now, that's not going to happen consistently enough. And so 22 to 26 times, he makes some good accurate throws, creates some chunk plays for them, let that running game and defense, that's got to be their formula to success this year.
Chad, the Mayo Clinic Comeback Player of the Year Award. You talked about it before. There's a bunch of great nominees. You can go to comebackplayer.com. Anything else you want people to know before we say goodbye?
Well, just as far as what the Mayo Clinic does, both as physicians and as scientists in the research and medical industry, is unbelievable. And I think this is a unique partnership for them to be able to really accent the college football player and what these guys are going through and what they've been able to overcome. It is about comebacks, and so it's really neat to see this partnership and be a part of it as a spokesperson to talk about these young student-athletes and what they're overcoming.
So you mentioned you were coaching high school football. Is that high school football player now just so different than when you played? And the reason I ask this is I went back to my old high school football team this past Saturday, and a kid walked into the coach's office, and I was hanging out with the coaches before the game. Kid walked into the coach's office and said, "Yo, let me get a mouthpiece for the coach," right? And I was like, wait, yo, let me get a mouthpiece. That would happen, and I'm not that old, but that would happen when I played. I mean, the coach's foot would have been lodged in that kid's ass for a week.
Right.
So, like, what is it like for you? What's your experience?
It's different, but you know, having three boys, I can understand it. And it's all about communication. I always remember my dad saying, the greatest thing we can ever give our kids is ourselves. And so if you do that as a coach and you invest in them, they appreciate that and they see that you're right there with them. But there's no doubt that the relationship is a little bit different. But I think it's better because they want to communicate with you. They want to have that one-on-one time. And so you've got to text them. You've got to call them. You got to stay with them. But that shows that you're involved and that you care about them.
Could you imagine if you had the social media aspect to your career that these players today have?
I'm glad that I didn't.
Right, exactly. Especially when you're the Jet quarterback.
Yes.
Then I think we can all agree on that. It's great to see you, man.
You
keep
too.
Up the great
Thank
work,
you.
Man. And we appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Chad. Chad Pennington on Boomer and Geo.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.